today's show. Oh, man, I got a full shot sheet for you guys. The Redskins have completely pissed me off. Belly and I are taking down Big Pharma. That's right. It's all happening right here from TTR Studios. Hey, neighbor, your boy got so mad, had to put a note on every single neighbor's door. I will read you that note. I will get your reactions. Am I a douchebag? Also, we've got the karaoke ruiner. Don't look at it yet, Belly. No spoilers. Get out of here. Strap it on, folks. We're ready to start a big jam-packed show today. Just get yourselves ready. From TTR Studios, this is Looch Dog in the Morning.
Yo, what's up, y'all? This is Skater D.
Hey, I'm John Charles Meyer, producer of Dave Made a Maze.
Hey, what's up? This is Scott Lodotti, author of Play the Devil, and you are listening to Looch Dog.
Looch Dog.
Looch Dog.
This is Andy fucking Cruz from SiriusXM 415, and you're listening to Looch Dog in the Morning.
Number one podcast in the world. Yeah, boy.
Welcome back, folks. So let's do the damn thing. Belly Matt LaBelle is in studio. Matty Potts will join us soon. So welcome to the show, my wonderful friends. How are we feeling on another fantastic Friday? It's getting a little chilly outside, and we couldn't care less. Belly joins me right now. What's up, dude?
Good to be here as always. What's this news that Potts is going to be here?
We'll try. We're working on it. We're going to see if we can get him into Studio B.
I thought you had work.
Well, he's possibly, listen, he might be delivering a baby right now. Daddy Potts, we wish him the best. We've got a big jam-packed show, so I will waste no more time getting to it. Good morning, Social Media Lounge. What are we serving in there today? I will take the reins. Today, we are serving bacon, but we cut it in half. And that's my tip to you, ladies and gentlemen. If you're cooking bacon, don't put the full strip in. You're not going to get an even cook. It's not going to be nearly as easy. What you do, before you even open the package of bacon, you just take it unopened, fully, completely unopened, and I want you to just take a nice knife right in the middle. If this is the bacon, right, if it goes all the way across, right in the middle, just cut through the package. Boom, right down the package. Right down the middle of the bacon. Now you got your bacon pieces are cut in half. They're separated in two, and they cook 1,000 times more evenly.
So you know how I cook my
bacon? You're welcome, Social Media Lounge.
You know how I cook my bacon?
How?
In the oven. I just lay them out on a cookie sheet plate.
What a waste of time!
Throw them in, and then they crisp all nice and even.
Do you preheat?
Of course.
You gotta preheat.
Of course.
Do you do anything in the oven that doesn't preheat? We have a little bit, we got a lot to get to, but we can BS for a little bit as we're both getting over our coughs. Is there anything that you put in an oven that you don't preheat?
No, well, the oven should always be preheated. You want things cooking at a certain temperature. You can't have it cooking at like 200 degrees temperature because then you don't know how it's really cooking.
You should have seen the Christmas tree mess that happened to me with the oven yesterday.
I'm guessing you didn't preheat.
I did preheat. However, I didn't grease the pan, first of all.
Oh, no.
Because you all know that I'm trying to get over my cough. And I've done a very good job since, first of all, yes, last show on Wednesday, we got a little bit personal. I was a little bit vulnerable and we talked about somebody very close to me who had passed away. And boy, the amount of people that reached out after the show just saying that you guys are here for me and that it was really, it was heartwarming. It was really nice to say as Belly at the same time as just picking at scabs as we're talking how heartwarming everything is. I really appreciate how many people reached out after last show that we did. And if you did, you know who you are. You know who I'm talking about. It really meant a lot to me. So thank you very much.
That was a Band-Aid, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell that was. But you just went to the doctor. We're going to get all into doctors because let me tell you something, guys. The story that we are about to drop on you might bring down Big Pharma.
No.
I can't tell you. Belly, we've got to be careful here because we can't give out too much information. We want to get in trouble.
I don't think it'll bring us down. Bring down Big Pharma. Trust me. Everyone already knows this about Big Pharma.
Yeah, but when you hear what I'm about to tell you reacted very surprised.
No, I'm not surprised.
You were angry at what the doctor did with me.
Angry at what the doctor did. Yeah.
You told somebody that you were hanging out with yesterday who doesn't even know me the 10-second recap of what this doctor did to me and what was their response.
No. The doctor
never go back again.
Never go to that doctor again.
So, we'll do that in a minute. But I was trying to make my Christmas tree brownies yesterday because I'm trying to give my lungs a full break. I mean, I want a full break. Man, I made some, I put some good ingredients in there.
Apparently, so you can't even get it out.
I did, man. I did.
Are you still
they're
feeling
good.
Effects?
These are strong. I might have one in the last segment, just because I wanted to just kick in right after the show. But dude, these are good, man. And you know you have to kind of simmer your Christmas trees in the oil first,
a little bit, yeah.
Right before you do this, and
you
then
gotta
you
cook them up.
You got to do that to activate the.
Now my
the pine needles,
is,
if you will.
When you're standing over the pot, are you like kind of like waffing it?
No,
in
no, no, I'm not. Should
up?
You be? Do you think that would work?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I
right?
would imagine.
I mean, it's probably cooking up some of that and it's going into the air, right?
Oh, it stinks up your apartment. Anybody who knows, if you've ever cooked, you know, special brownies, it reeks your apartment up.
Yeah.
So the funny thing is of course, this is coming on the heels of me complaining to every other apartment. So I'm worried to death that it's going to now, you know, smell, and they're going to all have something to complain about with me.
Right.
We'll get into this. But what ended up happening...
I hope we all get a message on our door kindly reminding us that the
it's not Christmas yet.
Are illegal.
So anyway, you know, how do you test if a brownie is done?
You poke it.
You poke it, right? So I poked it with a fork in the middle.
Or you cook it to the amount of time the box
no,
says.
No, false. Because I think when you add...
Oh, yeah. When you add that, you got to cook a little longer.
Now you got to add you got to cook it a little bit longer because I've got something added that wasn't taken account for on the box.
So you're saying your brownies were well done.
They were undercooked, man. They were so undercooked. It said to cook it for 22 minutes. I cooked it for 24 minutes. I put the fork in, and then... It didn't stick to the fork, so I'm like, oh, cool, they're done. But Belly, when I took them out and tried to cut them after cooling, it was all just mush. So I had put it then back into the oven, and I had to do that 3 different times.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it was a mess, because let me tell you something. I didn't skimp on the amount of Christmas trees I put in there. That's a scary moment, because if you fuck this up, that's about a, what? That's a pricey mistake.
Yeah.
It's a pricey baking mistake, but I do have them. I saved them, and, No, maybe we'll have one on the end. At the end. Maybe we'll have one together. You got to work today?
Of course, 2 o'clock.
Bah! Bah humbug. So let's get into this. You want to just start with the doctor?
Yeah,
doctor. We probably should.
Yeah.
Everyone? No, I want to tease it. Karaoke ruiner.
Oh, so should
karaoke
I
karaoke ruiner, first of all.
Liz passed me this note and said, don't read it right before the show starts.
Yeah, that is true, and I'm going to show you a picture before you even... No, hold on. Don't open it yet. Hold on. I did that is a folded piece of paper. That is the karaoke sign-up list for the night for a very, very big company that I work for. Prominently, don't open yet. Just put it down. I can't tell you the name of this company.
That's fine.
You've all heard the name of this company.
They do karaoke.
They love karaoke at the end of the year. Okay? We're in D.C. There's a lot of national global companies here.
Who cares about the company? Just tell me about the karaoke.
Thank you. So this company is big enough where they have their own building dedicated to...
Parties.
Kind of. Conferences. It's got 800 hotel rooms above, and it's just conference centers down below. And it's just because they bring in people internationally all the time for trainings and stuff. Oh, okay. And these people need places to stay. So it's like it's like they have their own hotel as one of the buildings on the campus.
All right.
It's awesome. But when they have these parties, these people, I mean, they have nowhere else to go. If you're from Ohio and you're flying into D.C. to do this for work, and your work where you're staying is throwing a party and there's a DJ, like, you're just going to kind of hang out until the end, right?
Yeah.
Well, there was 40 people. Now, they hired me last year to go till 11 o'clock. And at 11 o'clock, there was like 9 people left. And for some reason, they felt that that wasn't enough time for them.
So they added an extra hour.
So they added an extra hour.
So it was till midnight.
So I have to go to midnight now, which is fine. But I want you to think about the energy in the room when this is what you're DJing to.
I can count that real quick. That's 7 people.
Can you just describe how sad people. That looks?
That's 8 people.
Can you just radio descriptions to the people? What are you looking at?
I'm looking at 8 people standing against the wall.
look.
They're so far away. And that's the most ridiculous selfie I've ever seen.
Yeah, and then I just took one of me looking at the camera like, what am I doing here? Right? So, whatever.
That's a big room with 8 people in it.
But this guy, Steve Jobs over here, that guy,
yeah,
dressed like Steve Jobs. He's killing me, man. He's killing me.
Oh,
look, How do you kill a karaoke? Like, how do you fucking ruin
karaoke?
You
sing really sad songs.
That would be a good one. Or songs no one's ever heard of.
That too.
I'm fine with that because the song he wants to sing that no one's ever heard of is upbeat and silly and it makes him look stupid in a good way. And he's got a good sense of humor, so that's fine.
Yep.
But this is the kind of guy that everybody knows at work, that's the kind of manager that everyone just goes, oh, yeah, that's Dave.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That's not his real name, but it's just everybody knows somebody in their life that you work with that's just like, oh, nah, that's Dave. Oh, and like, you know, somebody makes a complaint and you're like, well, yeah, that's Dave. He's a little weird. I mean, that's just, that is, right?
Dave's just Dave, man.
Can you think of somebody at work? You don't want to name him, but can you think of somebody that's just a little quirky?
Everyone I work with. I love you all, but every one of you is quirky as hell.
What's the weirdest quirk at that's out of somebody that you work with?
Nah, that would give it away.
Yeah, I don't do that.
Okay. I wouldn't do that.
So but moving
it's
forward.
It's okay, because I'm quirky too. I'm the one, I'm the quirkiest one.
Yeah.
You know what? It's probably me.
How many times have somebody said, oh, it's just Looch? I mean, come on.
Yeah, all the time. That's just Matt.
Right.
Yeah. It's just Looch, I've definitely heard.
I want to know. Yeah, said and heard. We've all said and heard.
Yeah. Camera on Looch while he coughs.
Now, if you're creating a sign-up list, first of all, karaoke is a shit show, always.
Yeah.
Always, because people get drunk and then they just want to hear stuff and then they drop the mics and it's just, it's a mess. Managing the list is probably what I get paid for most. That is the hardest thing to do.
Yeah.
Managing the list, keeping the atmosphere happy. If somebody sucks, not making fun of them, but jumping in with them and singing along with them so that everybody feels good.
What's that Sarah McLachlan song? No, that you definitely don't want to hear. Like someone sings "Arms of the Angels"
I will remember you.
Yeah, that's gonna kill the karaoke vibe. Like when you see the SPCA commercial, Sarah McLachlan song when they're singing all about like anything. Yes, that.
Anything like this, you're just like, dude, come on, man. It's karaoke.
I was walking down the road, going down the way.
That would kill. That would kill at karaoke because you're getting into it. That would even be fine.
Best Western drunk in the land of...
I feel like Giggity. What's his name?
Quagmire.
Yeah.
So what's on this list?
All right, so what is on this list? I want to know how much this would infuriate you. Because you have to manage people.
Yeah.
And you have to set things up ahead of time so that they understand moving forward.
You ever look at someone and say, no, you can't sing that song. Like, you're not going to pull it off.
All the time!
Faithfully by Journey is not going to get sung by you today.
Not by you, nerdy look. Yeah, you can tell.
Faithfully!
Yeah, and you're like, oh, God. All right, go for it. I usually let people, if you want to go for it, go for it. I don't tell them no. But what infuriated me, hold on.
I'm so excited.
I know you want to see it. Belly, what I wrote on this list is the sign-up list. It's just a grid that I draw out with pen, and I draw out 25 lines because it's a blank.
That's what it looks like.
It's a blank white sheet of printer paper. It's not loose leaf, so I have to draw the lines.
We're going to open it. I'll show you all first.
Okay. And then it says name. Well, I don't think you can show them because it's got names on there. But it says name and then a line and it says song. All you have to do is write your name and then what song you want to sing. That's it. Look what this fucking guy does to the first 8 lines.
No name. And... yeah, he's all over the place with this.
He's just writing down songs.
Yep.
He's not writing anyone's names. He takes up half the fucking piece of paper. He kills half my lines.
How many of these pieces of paper do you make?
One.
Just one?
I mean, I have one ready to go as a backup just because I'll draw it up. One. I know there's only 40 people. I'm probably not going to get through this entire sheet. And guess what? I didn't. And this guy comes out of nowhere and in the karaoke.
You told me, how long was this event?
4 hours.
You're telling me in 4 hours, 17 people can't sign up for karaoke?
Yeah, because they don't sign up. Because of this.
17 lines on it, folks.
He screwed it up. Because they kept seeing this, they all he did was start writing down songs he wanted to hear. It's not a request sheet, sir. It says karaoke sign-up list. So then everybody would go up there and see that it was just somebody writing requests, and they said, oh, I guess we don't have to sign up. So everybody would just come up to the DJ and just say, hey, put me on for Killing Me Softly. And I kept having to say, okay, go write it down. Go write it down. Well,
They definitely did that.
They started to.
I don't see that.
That guy...
Put out the new sheet?
No, that's the only sheet, and that's what I wanted to show you. That guy set a precedent of how not to do it, and the whole sheet was fucked the entire night.
Because, yeah, it's all over the place.
It's all over the place. How do you go up to a karaoke list of says karaoke sign up, and you just take the first 8 lines and write down personal requests of songs you want to hear? Have you ever been to karaoke in your life?
These songs are all over the place.
And they're awful.
There's 6 songs.
Dude, he goes like this. He goes... I said, dude, what do you want me to do with this? Do you want, like, what are the names? Are you singing these? And he goes, just start playing them. People will go up. And I'm like, Jesus.
That's not how karaoke
Christ.
Works.
No, that's not how this works, man. So you
have you ever been to a karaoke before?
Right.
Bro?
So then the person who hires me says, okay, he's ready to go. Play the first one. What's the first one?
Baby Got Back.
Right. So I want you to think of a Steve Jobs looking guy who wrote down all these songs.
So that's a hard song.
Yes, it is. And so what happens? I put on Baby Got Back, and I say, okay, Mr. Guy, time for you to get up there. No chance he gets up there. And it's awkward, and it's sad. And I'm like, you know, guys.
Also, I'm fairly certain most of these names are made up.
This guy ruined. How would you feel if that's, you're trying to set a precedent, and that's how he starts things off?
I'm going to do you a favor. You need to never do this sign-up sheet again, and what you need to do is what all other karaoke places do.
What?
Small little cards that have you.
No,
that say song and
I've
title.
Done it. Nope.
No,
it's the worst. That's the worst. What he's talking about, you guys probably know. Most karaoke places have little cards, and they're like
they're in a basket. You fill it out and you hand it to the DJ.
But they're really easy to lose, and they're all really hard to manage as everybody starts throwing them at you at the end of the night. Trust me, man. Those things are really hard.
Just put them in order.
I don't. Put them in order.
You got to queue them up by now, but
no, trust me. Wouldn't you rather have one sheet of paper to look at with everything right there than 15 like tiny little cards? Hell no.
Yeah, but this looks less profesh than that. No offense, but this is written in pen and made its own lines, and I don't want to call you out.
I'm so mad at you right now.
I'm sorry, but
that is exactly where you do not take this.
I'm sorry. It's more I'm sorry, but. I want this, the other thing I want to know is, did he sing Single Ladies?
Listen.
I'm sorry.
I don't know why you guys keep doing this. Stop questioning my professionalism on air.
No, this is, I'm sorry. That
otherwise, I can't,
to do.
I can't bring these stories to air if you guys keep doing that. I can't do it.
All right.
Have to stop. It's like me saying, no, tell me the quirks of the people you work with. You can't do that.
It's your way of doing it.
That's my way of doing it, and there's a reason that I do it that way.
More organized.
It's the same reason I don't wear a suit to weddings. I refuse to bring rigidity into a DJ gig.
That's a good thing.
And so when you guys call me out for lack of professionalism because you think I don't think about it, it fucking pisses me off. I'm not mad at you. I'm calling you guys out.
No, I'm sorry.
Stop doing that because I do it for a reason, and it's why I'm the top-rated DJ
that's
in
true.
Like all of the country. So
that's
stop
true.
With the professionalism. There's a reason. Nobody likes it when their teacher goes in and is dressed in a suit or has everything rigid, rigid, rigid. What do you think that class feels like? They're clammed up.
Clammed up.
I purposely do things to make you feel like it isn't necessarily clam up time so that you will get up on stage and
karaoke.
Feel better about it. Karaoke, you need to feel chill. You should have sweatpants on.
But seriously, did this guy sing Single Ladies?
No. No, he didn't do Single Ladies.
Didn't
he
do Brick House?
No.
Dancing Queen.
They just wanted to hear the songs.
That's weird.
Because there's 40 of them. Nobody wants to sing in front of the closest peers that you work with.
That's
and there's
true.
Like, you can see everybody's eyes. That's just
karaoke's
scary, man.
More fun singing for strangers.
It's scary. Nope. I don't want it.
Do corporate parties, should they do karaoke is the question.
I think so, because it does bring you together. Like, once you get over that.
See, I think it should be done at a place that's like kind of out where there are strangers out, like at a bar. Like you did a happy
absolutely.
Hour that has a karaoke.
Yeah, doing it at work.
Hiring like a private karaoke event for only the people you work with and the only people that are going to see you. You're going to be known as that guy. Like, let's say this guy got up and sang Single Ladies and did all the moves. Good for him, for one, crushing it. Two, everybody's going to remember you for being the guy that crushed Single Ladies at the karaoke.
And I think you're right. You're probably a lot easier to get up there and get out of your comfort zone if you're not in a place where you're used to being rigid, which is work. That's absolutely true. All right, let's do this. Take a little break. I'm going to go smack Belly around during
Whip
the break.
Whip It by Devo?
Yeah. They want to whip it.
What is beer barrel polka?
That's the one he wants every time. Now we're getting personal. All right, let's move on, folks. We
got to
move.
What is that song?
Yeah, let me get the break. All right, we're going to break. When we get back, we will do doctors. You are not going to want to miss this story of how I was prescribed brain-altering drugs after a 10-minute conversation. We'll do it next on Looch Dog in the Morning.
That are sure to delight your senses. Whether you're craving the Chipotle pulled pork sliders, honey basil chicken tacos, or the infamous kitchen sink wrap, Marinate has something for everybody with tons of vegetarian options too. It's the perfect choice of catering for your offices or events with fast and friendly service from a brand new store on Melrose and Western. Stop by today or you can order online at marinateyourlife.com.
Yay for Taco Tuesday! Don't forget, buy one, get one free.
Tacos, wraps, sliders, and sides. Slow cooked to perfection at Marinate Restaurant. MarinateYourLife.com.
What's up, y'all? It's Maddie Mads here. This show is sponsored by TTR Studios. Whether it's weddings, parties, karaoke, audio, video production, and all your entertainment needs, call TTR Studios LLC at 703-850-2223 or check them out at ttrevents.com. Start the show, Looch.
Welcome back, folks. Time for another episode of Looch Dog in the Morning. It's Pharrell on the bench. Pharrell on the bench.
God, I can't stand that fucking guy.
Pharrell on the bench.
Welcome to the show. If you listen to sports radio, you know who I'm talking about. If you don't, sorry. All right, let's get into this thing. Belly's upset. Belly is upset.
Yeah, I was fired up about this.
Oh, man. I don't even know where to start this thing, but Belly and I basically went to the doctor and had the most opposite experiences possible. First of all, do you have a hernia?
No. As of right now, no is the diagnosis.
Yes.
Schedule me with a chiropractor.
It's funny that that's exactly how I just texted him priceless. Well, because we just said, I said it was probably a chiropractor, but yeah, you don't want to just do that first. I totally get why you would want to know that it's like, hey, okay, not a pinched nerve or whatever it is. Man, I'm glad it's not a hernia, man.
Should we talk about my doctor experience first or should we start with yours?
I mean, I think we just start with mine and we'll just go with it. First of all, let's just start with checking in. The whole checking in process. How do we feel about checking in on your phone places?
Do it.
I have an express check-in here at this. Now, first of all, I want to just preface this. I want to start this out by saying, as I'm piping things to Belly in between this sentence, who is now, what's the Star Trek character?
That was asked to be done by the social media. What? That was for you, social media lounge.
Can you keep it like that?
Yeah, I could definitely
go to
keep
B.
It like
that. Hit B. What's the Star Trek's name? What's his name?
Geordi LaForge.
All right, Geordi. Good morning, social media lounge.
That's from
we
the
love
next
you
generation. For those of you who don't know,
yes, it is. All right, getting back.
Played
back.
By Lamar Burton, who also is head of Reading Rainbow.
God, I missed that show. PBS.
Yeah, man.
All right, come back to me. Come back to us. All right, so here's the deal. I don't like checking in on my phone. Now the doctor. I belong to a conglomerate. I don't go to a family practice. I belong to a place that is national. It is probably global. You all know the name of it. I don't want to say the name of it because I don't want to put them on blast. However, I will lead you to the water and let you drink it. They are permanent, if you will. Let's just say they're permanent.
All right, come on. permanent in the game of healthcare?
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, you know what you could say is if you wanted to say what they are in Spanish, you would say they were permanente.
Nah.
Moving forward. Now that I've led you to the water, y'all know what I'm talking about. That's where I go. It's a one-stop shop for everything. There's you know, surgery. There's blood work. There's dentist. There's an eye doctor. There's a family practice all in one building. And so I go to the doctor, and I say, let me start that
doctor,
over.
Doctor.
Before the doctor, they give you this check-in option, and they ask you to check in, you know, like a flight, where you check in before the flight.
That's interesting.
So I can check in before I leave. So I check in, and then I go up I come out of the elevator of the second floor, and a lady who I recognize is usually the lady behind the desk. She's just sitting there, like a lot of people do at like used car rental places. They're sitting there, and they're like, "Hey, can I help you with the kiosk? Let's get you all signed in." She's sitting there, and she goes, "Hey, can I help you with express check-in?" I said, "Boom, already did it on my phone." And she goes, "Oh, great, you're ahead of the game." So I walked in and I sat down for 10 minutes, and I'm just thinking to myself,
"You didn't have any paperwork to fill out?
No, nothing.
You've been there.
I've been there." But I need to check in, and I want them to know I'm there. And I got there at 11:39 for an 11:40 appointment. So I'm wondering, I'm like, I hope they don't think I'm late. I better be in the system. And then some other guy walks up 10 minutes later and says, she goes, would you like for me to help you with express check-in? And he goes, I mean, I did it on my phone. And she goes, great, just pull up the UPC code or what the QR code and just scan it under this machine and you'll be checked in. And I said, I didn't do that. And she goes, oh, well, then you're going to need to do that. What the hell? So that's 10 minutes burned. And because of that, now I go in to check it in. They can't pull it up on my phone. There is no QR code. I'm getting upset and I'm not feeling well. You have no patience when you're not feeling well. Zero. And the worst thing you could do to me is waste my time. Like, the worst thing you could do to me is waste my time.
Yeah.
I need you here. What are they doing?
I'm just going.
All right, come. Let's go here.
I'm hearing you.
Okay. So I don't like, I mean, I sat in that waiting room for an hour because of this mix up, an hour before I even saw a doctor.
Wait,
they couldn't sign me in. They couldn't figure out where my QR code was. And I was like, guys, this isn't very express. Like, can you just figure this out? Can I just go over to the lady at the desk and sign in like I'm used to?
Yeah.
Do we have to do this at the QR code, you know, thing? And so finally I get checked in and all this and I sit there for an hour, man. And I mean, I'm upset, and I was rude. I was really rude to the lady who took me back, the nurse. Hey, how you doing? Well, been sitting there for an hour. How would you be doing? I mean, I was not happy.
Oh, man.
I was not happy.
So let me tell you about my check-in experience.
Let's go ahead with your check-in experience.
I walk up to the counter. I hand her, I already have my new insurance card out that I haven't used at this doctor's before, and I hand it to her, and I even have my ID in hand and say, do you need my ID as well? She goes, no, that's fine. If you could just fill out these four pages real quick and sign where I have it highlighted, and hopefully, and if they call you back while you're still filling out the paperwork,
yeah, right.
You can just take it back there with you. And I say, oh, great. Well, I finished the paperwork in more like 4 minutes, and then like 3 minutes later, they open the door.
Unbelievable.
Matthew, could you please just come this way?
And what goes through his head? Yeah, you're partying. You're through the first gauntlet. Meanwhile, I'm sitting there. Is this ever going to end?
I've been waiting in this waiting room.
It's and that's just the first waiting room.
Where I die.
So that was, not a good start. Let's just say that. Now, I'm about to get really personal with you guys, okay, for the rest of the show. Because I don't think there's a way to do this without doing that. So thank you for being a part of this. Thank you for allowing me to be so personal with you. Man, I want my friend on here. All right, I'll tell you. Okay, let's just start it. So I am, you guys know I've been coughing. And I also I have a proclivity to Christmas trees, and those two don't go together. So if you want to get better from coughing, you need to take a break from your Christmas trees and let your lungs heal, right? And so the doctor comes in, and Belly and I were talking about, do you tell the doctor that you're a fan of Christmas trees? And I say yes.
Yes, I think you should be open with what you are doing to your doctor so that they can give you a proper diagnosis.
Absolutely. There's no way they can do properly diagnose you if they don't know everything that's going on and all the facts. But the problem with that is that Belly pointed out, and I absolutely saw firsthand, is once you say that, typically That's all they hear from for the rest of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem no matter what. It's like, oh, well, if you didn't do that, you know, that'd be a lot better. And it's like, okay, I understand that. Can we think objectively here instead of just like, oh, well, you do that, then it would, then that's the cause. Well, mm-hmm. you do that, then that's the cause. It's very hard to get a doctor around that. I mean, hasn't that happened to you before?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's
for me, it's always, it's like I brought it up to you for that reason. It's definitely happened to me before with a doctor. Guess which doctor I never saw again?
Yeah, well, and now Belly is the kind of person who's like, I better know that I need a medication before taking it. Even like Advil. I'm like, does anybody have any aspirin? Like, I just need help. Like, I'll take it, whatever. And I've learned, you guys know, I've been a little bit weird lately. I've been in a funk. I felt like I haven't been myself. Today is one of the first days I feel like I'm back. And it's been great. But you remember I had that Afrin addiction?
Yeah.
About 8 months ago, 6 months ago, I have been addicted to Afrin for years. I'm talking every day, multiple times a day, for over 2 years, I was spraying Afrin up my nose, and that is not good for you. It is not good for you. You should not be doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's bad. They tell you when you buy Afrin at the supermarket, no more than three days.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they always say that because it's very addictive, and then it's almost impossible to get off of it.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the doctor. I said, Doc, I got an ear infection. I got to get off of Afrin. It's like a freaking panic attack, man. Can you please prescribe me some Xanax so that I can get off of this Afrin? And he was like, you know what? Okay, yeah, all right. If it'll work, let's see if this will help, you know? And I mean, I can see why that anxiety would build up because it's basically somebody pinching your nose like this for about 3 days. You have to just put yourself through that. It's like telling somebody who has claustrophobia, hey, listen, you can get over this. Just go lock yourself in a coffin for 3 days. It's fine. Like, what person is going to say, okay? I mean, that's hard to do.
Yeah.
You need almost somebody to just be like, go do it, right? So, with that being the case, that really worked for me. He prescribed me Xanax. I went home. I was off Afrin within 3 days. The Xanax absolutely worked. I still have like 5 of them left. I don't have a problem with addiction when it comes to like any kind of prescription pills because I'm not going to be somebody who goes into the doctor trying to lie and get scripts. Like, that's not my life.
Mm-mm.
It's not going to be.
Nope.
I, for some reason, that's just always been me. When I had surgery, I never finished my Percocets. I took as many as I needed, and I'm just like, that was it. So now I've got this chest thing. And I go in and I say, listen, man, I it's not going away. It's been like 6 weeks. And, you know, I do, you know, cut down Christmas trees fairly regularly. And he said, well, you know, there's some things we can do. Obviously, you know, breathing over hot tea would be really helpful. Drinking tea would be helpful. But
there's got to be an antibiotic, too, that if there is like a infection cause in your esophagus where it's kind of infected, quote unquote, there should be something of the along the lines of some kind of infection fighter. Like he could prescribe you like a penicillin kind of thing.
Now he says, okay, now is it cigarettes? And I said, no, I don't touch cigarettes. And he said, okay, all right, so just Christmas trees. Okay. You know, it sounds, first of all, what's happening is that your lungs need a break. So absolutely. It's like the skin inside your mouth. And it's kind of goes through scarring when you go through this. And what you need to do is you need to just allow that to heal, right? You need the little hairs inside to pass the mucus the right way. And they're not allowed to do that. Every time that you introduce something foreign to them, i.e. Christmas trees, it kind of just sets it back a little bit. So you need to give it a break. And I'm happy to help, I'm happy to prescribe you something to help make that easier. I said, well, the Xanax helped really well last time with the Afrin. And he said, okay, well, I'm happy to refill that. That's fine. We can do one more refill of that. Again, this is a 10-minute conversation, and he has not even listened to my chest, has not put a stethoscope on me.
Yeah.
Okay, which is weird. I said, okay. And he said, but it sounds to me like you're doing the Christmas trees in your daily life out of anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the case? And I said, well, yeah. I mean, yeah, absolutely. I'm somebody who has a really hard time turning off. I'm an entertainer. I'm always on stage. And so it's really easy for me to, for people to tell when I'm off. So I always feel like I have to be on. And that Christmas trees really helped me to level out, to turn off at the end of the day. And he says, well, you know, I'm going to give you a prescription for something that will help with that anxiety. Because I think to get you off, you know, of this, we've got to come up with something that's not invasive like that, that you're going to be using all the time. I'm going to prescribe you Wellbutrin. And I remember that name from when my roommate and one of my best friends on the planet went through some depression and was prescribed this and was taking Xanax at the same time. And this friend called me. I was the one who got the call when on the other line he said, "Looch, I need your help. I'm about to step into traffic. I'm going to kill myself." And I mean,
yeah.
What? And then he hung up the phone. I mean, imagine my what?
Yeah.
Now I'm called. Redial. Holy crap. Get him. Get my keys. Like, where is he? I don't even know where he is. Okay. So he's fine. And I'm just glad to hell that he is. But it ended up being that the combination of drugs that he was on really fucked up his mental chemistry.
Yeah, it can, and those kind of drugs can affect every one person, affects it differently.
And what he was on was Wellbutrin and Xanax.
Yep.
And I'm like, yo, wait a minute. Isn't this something that you need to go to like a psychiatrist to get?
No.
How am I getting prescribed this in 10 minutes of a conversation? You haven't even listened to my chest.
What was the question you asked that he said? That's the real blower for me.
Social Media Lounge. I want you to pop off because I'm going to watch this back later and I just want to see your comments. So I said at the end, and I'm like, well, first of all, I said, well, isn't that depression medication? He said, it is, but anxiety and depression are the same side of the coin. So what these are going to do is they're going to, you know, you won't feel the highs of anxiety, but you also won't feel the lows of depression. It'll level you out. And I said, I don't want that.
No.
Like my what makes me is
the highs
and the lows.
Yeah,
I can feel the lows. Y'all saw it on last show, but you need to be able to feel the feels if you're going to come out here and be a creative person. Otherwise, you're just going to be a drone.
And what you basically said in the beginning of the conversation is I like, you even told him, like, I'm up here all the time. I'm an entertainer. I have fun. And I just use the other thing, the Christmas trees to level out, get back down. Like that, you're not saying like you're down all the time.
No, I'm definitely not down all the time. And he wasn't trying to treat me for depression. And I'm not trying to get this doctor in trouble because he's a nice gentleman, very nice guy. Just painting the picture. He's probably 40 years old, little Asian guy.
And this is not to discredit
very smart
people who do take these medications.
No,
and it does help.
People need Wellbutrin. I'm sure it helps somebody who needs it. I don't think I need that. Mm-hmm. And whether you decide that's for you or not, sure, go for it, and I respect that. I'm telling you right now, for me, that's not going to work. You cannot level me out. Otherwise, like, I'm not me anymore, and I'm not changing that. I'm not going to change that.
From the Social Media Lounge, Wellbutrin also helps people quit smoking or lose weight.
It does. He said that.
It's like a low-key speed.
It is exactly what he said.
Except the low-key speed part.
Wait until I tell you his answer to whether or not I can take both Xanax and Wellbutrin at the same time. I will tell you that at the end of this break. We will take a quick short one, and we'll be back after this to finish it up with you next. Wondered to yourself, man, what the fuck am I gonna eat today? I got the answer for you right here, folks. It's Marinate Restaurant. You marinateyourlife.com. That's what you're gonna do. You're gonna go over there. You're gonna get yourself some sliders, some bowls, some soups, some tacos, whatever it is, because you know on Tuesdays, those tacos are buy one, get one free. So head over to their brand new store on the corner of Western and Melrose and get yourself some goddamn tacos. Let's go, baby. MarinateYourLife.com. Head over there today for the best food you've never had.
We'll be right back.
doing the damn thing with you guys as per usual on Friday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern. Thanks for hanging out with us on our YouTube channel, TTR Studios.
Someone is already saying he has not even addressed what you went in for yet.
Thank you.
Conversation.
Thank you. Thank you.
Very true.
I had to say, Doc, I'm still like, do you want to just hear the wheezing so that like you can know what I'm talking about? And he says, you know what? Yeah, actually, yeah. Why don't I listen to you? And gets up out of his chair and puts the stethoscope on me. Finally. I have to ask you for that?
Finally.
Why am I asking you for that? I want a copy. I haven't seen a sentence of the social media launch, but I imagine if Copy's in there, he's probably going nuts right now saying, yeah, this is why I don't go to the doctor.
This is why I don't usually go to the doctor.
I get it, man. And I'm only saying that because he made a very public comment on our show about why he doesn't go. I'm not trying to put him on blast. He's saying I self-diagnose because basically that's what's happening anyway when I go to the doctor. I'm literally running that meeting.
I went off on general physicians last week.
Oh, well, I would like for you to do it again because here's what happens. Now, guys, I want you to tell me what you would do if you asked when he says, now I'm going to put you on a prescription for Wellbutrin and also the Xanax. And, you know, this will be... We just got to give your lungs a break. It'll be all right. Now,
can I be a
and now, hold on. Yes. Not, but not yet.
All right.
Now, and he says, because he says in passing, this was what was so weird. So I'm going to put you on the prescription for both of these, and it's going to be worse the first week, but then it'll get better. So, you know, I want you to give me, and I said, wait, what? Yeah, well, yeah, it's going
to
be worse the
first
week.
I love how
they
say that in passing. That happened to me at mine, too, when they gave me the flu shot. They inject me with the flu shot, and then they say, oh, yeah, and you might get cold chills, and you might have a fever for, like, 3 days.
No.
Okay.
No, thanks. That's why I don't get a flu shot. I'm not going to go force myself to get sick.
See,
I don't need
for
that.
Me, so here's the reason I do vaccines, because, one, I've never had a bad reaction to a vaccine. I don't have any allergies to medications.
Sure.
If you do, please be careful. But the other reason I do the vaccinations is because it also prevents you from spreading these diseases. If you are technically a carrier, it can keep you from spreading that disease along to someone else.
I'm not
else.
Getting my flu shot. That's very nice of you. I'm not getting a flu shot ever.
See?
I'm not doing it. I don't get the flu. I get bronchitis, but I'm not doing it. You're not going to tell me to go get sick on purpose. I'm not doing it. You might call me crazy. I can't stand being sick. To tell me to go get a strain of the flu injected to me is just not going to happen.
All right.
So with that being said, I'm moving forward. What, is that bad?
No.
People don't like that?
No, it's fine.
It's not like saying you don't vote. Like, people don't like people who don't get flu shots.
I mean, yeah, it's all about the spread of the disease. Like, you can carry
fair.
It and not show any
that's
symptoms.
Fair.
And but because you haven't been vaccinated, you can pass those symptoms on to someone else.
That's fair. So I don't like that he just in passing goes, yeah, so it's going to be worse for the first week, but then it'll be better. So yeah. How about those Redskins? And I'm like, wait a minute, what? Time out. What do you mean worse the first week? Yeah, that will be true. Well, I mean, it'll be worse the first week and then it'll get better. And I said, well, what does that mean? What will be worse? Like my hair loss? Like what will be worse? And he's like, well, no, whatever you're feeling will be magnified. Whatever is kind of making you anxious will get worse for a week. And then it'll get better.
Man,
and
I was today's like, show would have been way different.
Yeah. And I was like, dude, if that's the case, then I'll just go through a week of putting myself through hell of no Christmas trees. I don't need that. What are we doing here? Jesus Christ. I don't need that. So anyway, I said to him as I'm leaving now with a little bit of skepticism, Belly, come back to me. Hey, you want to be me?
Excuse me, doctor. Can I take these two things together? Is it safe to take these two substances together?
It should be fine.
Nope. Nope.
That is
it
word.
Should be fine.
Word for word what came out of his mouth. I said, are you sure I can take both of these at the same time? No big deal of Xanax and Wellbutrin. Because in my head, I'm thinking my buddy took these and almost killed himself. And he goes, it should be fine. That's exactly how he said it. Are you kidding me?
That's very certain of him.
It should be fine. I had to ask you to stand up and listen to my chest. You have no idea what's going on right now. Are you kidding me right now? It should be fine. Brain-altering drugs. These are made to alter the chemistry makeup of your brain. So I'm down in the now. I'm down in the pharmacy, and I'm like, wait, do I want to do this? Do I want to go on Wellbutrin? I'm already feeling like I'm not myself lately. I don't want to go further down that road, and I'm wondering now if it's because I took a couple Xanax. Maybe that's what's been fucking with me.
It's kind of did start right around that time
frame. Yeah, and I'm like, maybe that's what happened. You know, and I'm standing in line. I've actually already gone to the window because they have a pharmacy right down below of this permanent medical solution, if you will. So I go to the window and I ask her, I give her my prescription. She says, cool, give me a minute or two and I'll fill it. And I said, cool. So then I went and I'm just standing there with nothing to do. And I'm like kind of freaking out a little bit. And I said, you know what? Screw it.
They're still calling for you, Mr.
Oh, they Mr. are still. Carlucci. Well, so I call on my phone my friend. And I said, hey, bud, my bud who's been through this. And I said, hey, man, does the word Wellbutrin mean anything to you? And he goes, yeah, that's what I was taking. I said, yeah, wasn't that what you were taking back when things got rough? And he was like, I took a couple of them. They had me on a bunch of different ones. But yeah, that was definitely one of them. And Xanax and Adderall, they had me on all kinds of stuff. And I said, dude, they're trying to prescribe it to me along with Xanax so that I can get a week or two off of Christmas trees so that I can get my lungs to clear out. Like, he was like, turn around right now and walk out of the building.
And I would have done that at the doctor.
Well, I said, what? I said, what? I just put my prescription in. He says, turn around. And I said, you know what? Yep, you're right. And as I turn around and walk straight out of that doctor's office, still haven't picked up the prescription. They're calling me every 10 minutes. Your prescription's ready. I'm like, yeah, I know. Thanks a lot. What he explained to me on the phone was so much more factual and scientific than anything that the doctor said to me. Because after he went through what he went and saw like brain doctors, psychiatrists, and people who knew the facts behind these drugs. These drugs are, like, for example, Xanax is supposed to grab onto your neural receptors, hold onto them real quick, within 15 minutes. And that's why you immediately feel this like, okay, whew, all right. And then once it's done, it's like, shroom, and it releases.
And what happens when it releases?
You are depressed.
It lets all the shit it's been holding back
out.
And then it just overflows.
Yeah, and he said, he was like, dude, I will never touch Xanax again in my life. I will never put another one in my body because of how hard it was to get off of that. I'm telling you right now, it was about a month of full-on depression before I started even feeling like myself because of the chemical imbalance that was going on in my brain. And the Wellbutrin, all that does is even you out. It just levels you out. So you won't feel any highs. You certainly won't feel any lows. And I was just so over it. Walking through my life like a goddamn zombie, dude. I'm telling you, turn around, walk the fuck out of there. And I did. And I'm just wondering, like, I want to get him on the phone, but I almost don't because I don't want to put him on blast of who it is and get his voice out there. It was unbelievable the amount of information that he went off on, and he started telling me, like...
And it's because he saw psychiatrists and mental health doctors and people who prescribe those. If you are going to get prescribed those things... yes, it'll help some. We do have someone in the social media lounge that took Wellbutrin to quit smoking and it worked for them and they haven't smoked in 12 years.
That's awesome.
Kill it.
Congratulations. Like, honestly, good. Good for you. That's great. That is awesome. That's fantastic.
Yeah. But typically I would recommend if you're going to take mental health drugs, see a mental health professional.
Shouldn't you be prescribed that from a mental health professional?
Not a general physician.
He doesn't know me. I've been there twice. And let's be honest, both times I've been there, I've asked for Xanax. Like, if you're looking at it objectively, how do you know I'm not an addict? Exactly. He doesn't know me from Adam, no pun intended. He doesn't know me. I could easily just be going in there and being like, hey, man, I'm stuck on Afrin. Can you hook me up with some Xanax? You can't prove I'm stuck on Afrin.
He's just like, zip.
Yep, here you go. And I mean, I'm not trying to get this guy in trouble because it really did help. The Xanax helped me get off of the Afrin, and then I stopped taking the Xanax for the most part. But after I've been trying to now give my lungs a break, I started taking a few of them again to try to break from that, and I haven't felt like myself.
Yep.
So I'm talking to my friend, and he's like, dude, most doctors, I'll tell you the truth, you need to like really be careful with doctors these days because there are a lot of them who feel like everybody's a little bit messed up. He's quoting, hold on. Yeah. This is the mentality of a lot of doctors out there. Everybody is a little bit messed up, and Belly, there's a pill for everybody that can fix just that.
I would say...
I don't think that landed with you. Everybody's a little messed up, and there's a pill for everyone out there that can fix whatever it is that's messed up with you.
It's not...
And that is, like, not right, man.
I can't process that, because my doctor is completely opposite. I had the complete opposite experience of you. My doctor comes in, and first of all the one-wheel people listening right now, my doctor knows about the one-wheel, has boosted boards, hasn't bought a one-wheel yet, but I told him to get one.
Touchdown!
But he loves electric skateboards. He loves skating. He is all about extreme sports. He's the doctor you want because he's like not afraid of breaking bones and being sick and doing all this stuff.
Isn't he like Nordic? Doesn't he have like long blonde hair?
No,
and
he was more, no, he had short hair, but he was like his accent was either German or Swedish or something like that. But he's very funny, charismatic, like energetic. And the first thing he sees on my chart, he turns to me and goes, "I see you're not on any prescription drugs. That's awesome. Stay off of anyone. If you don't need them, don't take them."
That's the doctor you want. And listen, 1,000 times, I want to say this just to be clear. We have nothing against anybody who's taking any medication. That's
if
good.
You need it for,
you
help,
need
and
it
is
for
helping
health
you,
reasons and it's helping
that
you,
medication.
That's good for you. But man, can we just take a second as I've got 8 minutes left with the people? Right now, Belly, the social media lounge is your people, so I want you to vet them here. Social media lounge, stop what you're doing. Pay attention for a second. I need you as if you are students in a class. Everybody look up. I would like to ask you just initial thoughts on how easy it was for me to get prescribed brain chemistry altering drugs from a general physician. What are your thoughts? One sentence. Is that acceptable? Is that okay by you? Does that raise a red flag? Is that completely fucked, man? You should not be able to. I mean, I feel like I could go in there and be like, "Man, I'll tell you what. I can't seem to focus. Can you hook me up with a script of Adderall?" And be like, "Yeah.
Yeah."
Aren't you supposed to go to a psychiatrist for these drugs?
Well, so I do have something in the social media.
Pop them off. I want all of their input for the last 8 minutes, guys. Start popping off. Social media launch. Hold on. Go to them. S.
Yes, S.
We haven't done that in a while.
So, conversely, I know someone that whose mental health doctor wouldn't prescribe her any of these new drugs, even though she was majorly depressed, didn't want to go on. Her regular doctor did end up prescribing her these drugs, and they're helping her now.
Now, that's the other side of the coin. But that person, whoever that is,
saw a mental health
professional. Saw one and then saw another one and had to go through a process. And I'm sure that was vetted. And I'm telling you right now, I'm betting those doctors knew more than a 10-minute conversation with this person.
Someone else points out that it may not be Big Pharma, but more insurance companies kicking back to doctors to get those drugs
prescribed.
Can you
tell us about the kickbacks that you... He was saying that the doctor has to get a kickback. And I was like, kickback? What the hell are you talking about? Am I missing something?
For me,
again?
Anytime a doctor is throwing you a script in less than 10 minutes, he's getting a kickback.
From who?
From insurance companies, maybe the pharmaceutical, but...
Come on. Are you saying doctors have an incentive to put people on drugs? A financial incentive?
Some of them probably do, yeah. It's a back game that can really push and make the dark part of medical fields scary.
What's coming in the social media lounge? It's a good job by you. Because he said that to me, and I was like, wait a minute. You really think a doctor is incentivized to give medication to people? I mean, they already make enough money.
From the social media, that's way too easy. There should be a balance. All doctors can prescribe meds, but a good doctor would prescribe you meds and then refer to you to a psychiatrist for a refill. That's 100%.
That's well said. I mean, who knows? Now, let me ask you this to end this show on. I have a decision to make. Do I want to end it on a happy, fun, let's turn it, or do I want to ask the question I really wanted to
always
drive
fun.
To?
Always fun.
Do you think if we had the cure for cancer, look, I'll just come out and say it. We already have it. I guarantee it's already out there.
There's something.
There's got to be a cure for cancer, and
radiation.
I'm going to tell you right now, I am positive, 100% positive with all of my being that if there was one found, Big Pharma wouldn't let it out. Do you think that they would give the cure to cancer if we found it to the mass of people? I don't think so. I think that is a question that I've been thinking about a lot lately. Honestly, ever since my friend's dad passed away. Do you think that there is somebody in a fucking, Roswell somewhere in this bunker that has this canister that's got the cure to cancer and everyone's going like the Illuminati or whatever is saying, not yet.
There's probably cures.
It's still
to
big
a lot
pharma. Big pharma is still way too big of an industry of the medication keeping people alive for as long as possible who have cancer. Why would
profits
you stop
are made
that?
On the sick
because
from
the profits are made in the sick. That is disgusting.
Yep.
That's disgusting. How do we? I don't want to be the one to break this story, but like,
it's been known.
Do you really think there isn't a cure yet to cancer?
After the millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars of research we put into it for the last 50 years.
And you're telling me we haven't come on. I don't buy it.
We haven't even come close to a point where we could even create a vaccine.
I don't buy it. I don't buy it.
Cancer's hard to beat. Cancer is one of those things that can develop and adapt in like no other disease in this world.
So and man, if it's hit you, I'm sorry. I mean, everybody's been affected of it. Okay. All right. Time to switch gears for 4 minutes. Chick, chick, chick. Let's
shift
do this
it into
one.
Overdrive.
All right, let's do this. This is what I want to do with you guys. How mad would you be right now? Can I get some sympathy? Can I just complain for a second?
We went over I think we went over a little bit what the neighbors have been doing.
No, we're not doing any of that. I'm saving Hey Neighbor
for pots. We want pots in.
Can you all see this letter? Look how long that is.
This is a letter.
I taped this to every single neighbor's door. Look how long that is. I'll read you that letter, but I'm going to wait until Matty Potts comes back so he can rip me a new one for what I left on every one of our neighbor's doors this week. So we'll do that next week. But no, what would you feel? Look, man, what's up with these flex games in the NFL? This pisses me off.
Flex games?
Yeah. So there are games that are flexed out, and what that means is they're up against another flex game, and then they're going to decide which game is more important once they get closer to the time they see what teams are actually good and what matchups are actually good. Like, you don't know if week 10, you know, Steelers-Chiefs is going to be a good game until you get to, like, week 5 or week 6. So what they'll do is if it ends up being a shitty game and it was listed to be on primetime, they'll flex it out for another flex game that was better. So what just happened is your boy, who books up a year out and purposely, when he's booking for the fall, has a Redskins schedule on his side of his screen and doesn't book any weddings on Redskins Sundays.
But what happened with the Redskins Cowboys?
They just flexed Redskins Cowboys on Thanksgiving or on Christmas to December 22nd, Saturday now. I've got a wedding on Saturday. Fuck, now I've got a wide open Sunday, no Redskins. I'm going to miss the Skins on Saturday because they flexed it out on Christmas. Get out of here. Get out of here. That shit pisses me off, man. I planned that out a year ago. I heard that on the radio. I was like, no. Redskins Cowboys. Come on, man. Merry Christmas, everybody.
You guys are playing on Thanksgiving.
December. No, Christmas. I think it's Christmas. Yeah, whatever. All right, we got to get out of here, Belly. Let's say goodbye to the people. We got to go.
Adios, people. It's been great as always. It's Friday, so get out there, have some fun, and yeah, brah.
Yeah, brah. Get your float on. Everybody have a great weekend. We will see you guys on Tuesday for The Voice of One Wheel. We've got very, very new things coming. The Voice of One Wheel will be broadcast in a new place on Tuesday. Where? You'll find out. It'll be right here, just like usual, and we will continue to post them for free right afterwards. We are going to start simulcasting. We're sending it everywhere, and we're excited to do that. You'll find out on Tuesday next week for The Voice of One Wheel, 11 a.m. Eastern. Thanks for hanging out with us. For Belly and Matty Potts, it's your boy Looch Dog. This is Looch Dog in the Morning.